Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is Travis Loop, the host. I'm very excited to share some new water research with all the listeners. I'm joined by Adam Davis. He is co-founder of DHM Research. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Travis. Thank you.
So I'm excited to talk about this. You partnered up with Blue Drop to do a little bit of research into the area of kind of a national opinion survey about water and what Americans know about their utilities or local projects and so forth. And I thought that the results of the survey were very interesting. Different types of numbers, different findings, different topics and questions than I've typically seen. So could you set this up? Blue Drop approached you all and wanted to kind of learn a bit more about Americans' opinions of water.
What we did was conduct a national survey earlier this year. We recognized Blue Drop and DHM Research that the industry is really at a very important point in time. The issue is infrastructure, needing to address the water systems in the United States. And that means you're going to be competing against a lot of other services for attention and money. It relates to government affairs. It relates to public relations, because rates are going to be going up and the industry is going to need assistance from different levels of government. So we felt it was very important to check in with the public about this. Communications is key. Communicating with your customers, but also communicating with opinion leaders in all the different sectors. And to be effective at communications, which is really Blue Drop's focus, you need to have good research. You need to understand where people are and why they're there. The goals of the research were to not only learn how people are feeling about drinking water and wastewater and sewer, but why they're feeling that way. It's that blending of quantitative and qualitative research. What was really cool about this study, Travis, is that we split sampled Americans on the issue. We asked half the sample about drinking water and half the sample about wastewater and sewer. The reason we did that is we wanted a good validity check. I didn't want to run the risk of sensitizing people by having them think about one of those services and then being asking them about the other one for fear that it might have an impact on their attitudes. So we split sample, and I think we learned some good things on a lot of questions, very similar results. But on others, we saw some differences.
You know, when I look at the report document that came out, which I'll include a link in the podcast episode so people can go and read it, right away in the introduction, just that very first kind of opening page there, you have some statistics that I think would be worth sharing with listeners about how much people know about the origins and destination of their water.
Well, that was one of the key findings from the survey was awareness and knowledge levels. And I think the headline is that there's great ignorance around water services. More than a third, 37%, don't know the origin of their drinking water. Think about it. You're going to need the support of people as you move forward with increasing rates and having them help you in your state capital or on the Hill in Washington, D.C. And we have 37% that don't know the origin of their drinking water, and two-thirds don't know the destination of their wastewater after it is cleaned.
Wow.
So think about that. I mean, they're not connecting the dots, because we know from other research we've done how important bodies of water are to people, from public health and just wanting to be assured it's safe, to outdoor recreation, to animal habitat, you name it. That was something that really jumped out at me, Travis, was the high level of ignorance. About half, 48%, say they are not familiar with the quality level of their drinking water. Earlier in the survey, when we asked the question, you know, does your water provider provide you safe water? We had good figures. I mean, that's good news, but it's incredibly soft. Because when you ask them specifically, what about the quality level of that water, we almost have 50% of the people saying they're not familiar with it.
Hmm.
I might take just a time out from this.
Sure.
And just with you that we used an online methodology. And one of the reasons I love online surveys these days, besides the fact that the telephone survey option is just becoming more and more a dinosaur for a variety of reasons we could discuss maybe later. But you get more candid responses online. You don't have what we call a interviewer effect and social desirability entering into it. These people are just with the question on their computer. There isn't an interviewer there. So about half say they are not familiar with the quality of the drinking water. This is huge. More than three quarters are not familiar with drinking water or wastewater sewer projects in their community.
Hmm.
83 for drinking water, 84. Remember, split samples, which is really interesting. Look at how close that is. 84%. More than three quarters are not familiar with drinking water or wastewater sewer projects in their community.
And it's their dollars that are really funding a lot of those projects, right?
Absolutely. And every one of those projects represent an opportunity to connect the dots for people and allowing them to see the connectedness between water quality and water infrastructure with their quality of life and livability. So that was another thing that jumped out at me. And here's another concern I have, is that the awareness was higher among, not surprisingly, higher educated people, higher income people, and older folks. Let's recognize for a moment that you have a lot of folks, a lot of young people that were less aware and less knowledgeable than their older counterparts about drinking water and wastewater and sewer. What is going to happen? Those people are going to grow up. They're going to become homeowners. They're going to be paying taxes, and they're going to have relationships with leaders in the community. So I would want us to consider that moving forward, what the demographic subgroup differences are relative to attitudes about water. And we constantly see these subgroups distinguishing themselves in terms of, maybe on the negative side, the low awareness and knowledge levels. I will say this, these people tend to be more supportive of water quality initiatives, including investing in water infrastructure. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah.
So that's where we are with that one big bucket, and that's just knowledge level and awareness.
Yeah, and just like you said, just from that, there's a lot to learn and a lot to take away from this survey. But there's also a lot of other great numbers in here, a section on kind of digging in a little bit here. And I'd love for you to share some of that information as well, including how people feel about the job performance of their water services, how they feel about the value they're getting for their money.
Yeah, and that's really related to another issue, and that is the sense of urgency and how drinking water and wastewater and sewer compare to other services, which are going to be, you know, right there trying to gain the public's attention and trying to get the resources necessary to keep them on the right path forward. So on the good side of things, we have people, you know, if you're just generally feeling pretty good about their services. 67% feel their community provides good quality drinking water. That's great. 65% trust the safety of their drinking water. Now, remember what I said before, that 65% who trust the safety of their drinking water, is that maybe a little soft relative to the number of people, almost a majority of people saying they really don't know what the safety level is of their drinking water.
Blind faith here.
And the thing is, so to speak, is the glass half full or half empty here, right, Travis? Because you've got 60%, 67% of the people feeling that their community provides good quality drinking water. What about the other percent?
Right.
And we know who those people are more likely to be in terms of subgroups. Same thing about safety. 65% rate their community's water infrastructure, including treatment plants, water and sewer pipes, and storm drains, as good or very good. Okay, 65%. Is that a good number or a number that should be a flashing yellow light and a green light?
And sometimes, I mean, I think of these percentages, if you line up X number of people, wow, one out of three people don't think that they're know, wastewater infrastructure is good. They've got a gripe. They've got a problem. They don't like it. So that's, I mean, if you have one out of three people that is not happy, that's, to me, being in the water profession, that's kind of disappointing.
And that's it. I mean, we're both in the communications field, and we know the importance of really understanding what these survey findings are telling us. And here's where this all leads. And I think it's the biggest takeaway for me from this survey is how this low awareness and knowledge level, how this general satisfaction, regardless of how soft it is, listen, it's over 50%, how it leads to people not elevating drinking water and wastewater and sewer to the top of the list when it comes to investing in infrastructure. It's huge.
So they will tend to support other types of infrastructure or other community services. As I'd rather put my money here because I'm more satisfied with what I'm getting from that utility or infrastructure.
Absolutely. So 16% feel it is very urgent for local leaders to invest in updating water infrastructure to ensure good quality drinking water and proper treatment of wastewater, compared to other issues such as transportation, housing, and education, which all did better. But that is something to keep in mind. And I want to even be a little bit more specific, because here is where we saw some differences based on drinking water versus wastewater and sewer. You know, looking at the numbers more closely relative to how this is causing Americans to not elevate drinking water and wastewater and sewer to the top of the list when it comes to infrastructure development are these. A majority of Americans rank drinking water services as either most important or second most important from a list of services, ahead of police and roads. Now, that's interesting.
That is.
Most important is 49. Second most is, important is 14. That's drinking water. And this is what I was mentioning before. I'm happy we split sample, because when it comes to wastewater and services, less of a priority. Nearly 3 in 10 rank them as either most important at 3% or second most important at 25%. So you had 49 and 14 and 3 and 25. Most important was 49 for drinking water. Most important for wastewater and sewer, 3%.
3%.
So that's why I'm happy we split sampled, because our wastewater and sewer people are starting further back on this path to build awareness and knowledge levels and a sense of urgency when it comes to investing in infrastructure. So bottom line is water infrastructure may not be considered as pressing as other services that the public is being asked to support or will be asked to support. While most Americans, the numbers show here, agree their community should invest in updating and replacing water infrastructure, fewer, 16%, consider it a very urgent priority compared to other issues such as transportation or housing. That's the nugget for me, Travis, is right there. Because I do a lot of work to support government affairs, and support is fine, but it is the strong report of support. It's the urgent level that I'm looking at, and I'm trying to understand what that means. The other value of this research is that we have a baseline now. We know where we stand nationally. So as we move forward with planning, we have an opportunity to kind of track changes in attitudes and the reasons why people feel about things the way they do over time. Yeah. And that's going to be helpful to the industry, I think.
That 3% number, it just underscores how much work the sector has to do with educating people about what happens when they flush the toilet and where, you know.
And that's the bottom line. You know, as long as they perceive water is coming out of the tap, and remember, we have a lot of people that don't drink tap water. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the issues I'm sure you guys have talked about with people previously. And I just think this is a wake-up call. I think it's a wake-up call for the industry that we're at this point in time where we're going to be in need of resources to address a lot of infrastructure problems. And we have a lot of people who are very ignorant about what it is that we do, how what we do relates to their livability and quality of life, and who currently are not prioritizing our services as high as other services, which will be there at the trough trying to get resources.
Yeah.
It's fascinating for me, Travis, to see the media, when you talk about infrastructure, it's always transportation. Right.
Roads and bridges. And bridges.
That's exactly right. And you know, in our part of the country, and I know in other parts of the country as well, you know, if it's not roads and highways, then it's public transit from bicycle paths to light rail, you name it. And I would encourage good work being done. I know it is being done by some of the associations, kind of just tracking, doing content analysis, what's being said about this. Let's establish some strong baselines here. And over time, let's see how things track in terms of the kind of coverage it's getting, both in traditional media and social media.
I think that's a great look at the key statistics and takeaways here. One of the interesting sections that kind of wrapped up the report, the summary that I read, talked about opportunities for engaging customers. And I don't know if you could kind of comment on that portion a little bit. And I think this is some advice for how to address some of the things we see in the numbers.
Well, I really appreciate that, Travis. This is a national picture. And I would argue that it would be really valuable for utilities to get a handle on how folks are feeling in their area to help with communications, but also to help with program evaluation. You're spending a lot of money in everything from signage to public meetings, community meetings, you name it. What kind of effect is it having at a time where it better have some effect? You're a utility, you'd like to do this, where do you start? You start, first of all, appreciating who it is that you need to hear from. I think a lot of times utilities are a little too tunnel vision, and all they want to hear from are their customers. And even sometimes It's just the person in the household who's paying the bill. Hmm. Well, we know what the demographics are for that group. They are not all the people in your community, yet what you do affects all the people in the community. And I see too much work basically leaving out big swaths of the public. And these people are important to you. A lot of them are actually more supportive of investment in water infrastructure than the older, wealthier, more educated white person. Mm. So it is something to keep in mind that I would encourage you to make it a truly community survey, but that you ask questions to be able to identify and do subgroup analysis for your customers and on the actual person in the household who pays the bill. And I see just missed opportunities there all the time, Travis. So you got to start there.
Yeah.
Secondly, you got to appreciate that the industry is changing. We can't field long questionnaires anymore. They've got to be short questionnaires. They've got to really hit on some of the things we've talked about to help you and to get that baseline for a program evaluation. So as important as that, what we call quantitative research or survey research is the qualitative research in the focus groups. I'm at a point where I often encourage clients to work, you know, with us or another vendor to pull together randomly two groups of individuals to sit down at the table with you and spend a couple hours with you on it and go through what we call a topic guide. Start very general, get down into specifics, but the opportunity there is that you can show things to people and get their reaction to it. You can also observe them. And we know how much of communication is nonverbal communication. You get that as well. At this point in time, and I know you and I deal with a lot of engineers, we are numbers people.
Yeah.
And this focus group is touchy-feely. And how could 8 people possibly represent my community? And I'd like to push back on that attitude and say that you would be better served doing 2 carefully recruited focus groups moderated by a professional where the people don't even know the topic they're coming in to talk about.
Ah.
Total off the street folks, and ask them generally about what they value about living in their community and zero in on drinking water and wastewater and sewer. I say that because you will get so much more for the expenditure. And so that's the second thing, is the value of focus group research.
Yeah.
Thirdly, is recognize that any research effort is more than research. It's an opportunity to build relationships.
Hmm.
You know, those people around the table are going to go home and talk to their household members about the experience. You can engage them on an ongoing basis, ask them to be part of a panel, a database of people you can then reach out to occasionally and get feedback at a less expensive rate than doing a survey each and every time. Surveys are fantastic. Short surveys. Now, I would be a little nervous if we go much longer than 10, 12 minutes on either an online survey or a telephone survey. I always ask people at the end, if they'd be interested in helping us out to make this a better community moving forward, and work with nonprofit organizations to help make this possible. Is there any information that you would like to have open ended, and then maybe list a couple things that you could forward to them? So think of research as more than research. Research is truly an involvement and engagement opportunity that I don't think enough utilities see.
Yeah.
The final thing, you know, those are 3 things to keep in mind, but our industry is having to change. Phone survey research is very problematic these days because we cannot get what are called representative samples.
Hmm.
Samples represent demographically the full population that you're interested in learning from. So we're turning to online surveys. We work with online panel companies who recruit a broad swath of people across the community. And we, just like when we used to deal with telephone surveying companies, work with them now to get a representative sample. The problem there is that for smaller communities, those people that are listening today to this podcast, it's difficult to get enough of the panel in a particular small area. Hmm. So for large metropolitan areas, no trouble. For state research, no trouble. For national research, a piece of cake. But for smaller communities, it's more difficult. So that leads to the final thing I'd share with you, Travis, is community partnerships. And you can't do this alone. And you're going to have to work, and I know many in the industry know this, but you're going to have to work with others and have them help you carry the water, so to speak, on this whole thing. And research is an opportunity to maintain community relationships out there or to establish new ones. I'll give you a quick example. Here in Oregon, we're doing a project for the Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts. There are 20 land trusts across the state of Oregon. And what we're asking them to do is reach out to their partners or to new people they would like to have be their partners and have them send an e-vite to people in their contacts database to take a survey that we are administering to a scientific, statistically based sample to what? To get more people involved. And remember, another benefit of doing this research is an opportunity to educate. It's not only an opportunity to involve and to learn where people are, but also to educate. So it's like a snowball. And so all these land trusts are out there contacting folks, using it as an opportunity to maintain relationships or build new ones. And guess what? When we get the results, they'll have another opportunity to say, let's get together. We'd like to share with you what we learned about the community, because we start with community questions. What is it that you value about your community? Which of the following services are most important to you? It's just a tool that I think, along with research, is so important, and that is your community relations and knowing that you need partners and that you're making an effort to have those partners work with you to elevate the importance of drinking water and wastewater and sewer. You're not going to be able to do it alone.
Terrific, terrific advice, especially from someone with your background and experience and expertise, you know, just even beyond the water sector in dealing with a lot of issues and public policy issues and how you engage community members and partners. That's super helpful information and ideas. So thank you so much for the time and for sharing the information. As I said, I will include a link to this survey in the podcast episode so people can check it out.
Wonderful, Travis. I've enjoyed this, and I hope listeners find it helpful. And the link will take you to the article. If you have any questions, know you can contact me, dhmresearch.com. I work in a lot of different issue arenas, and the water arena is something that just professionally I have a great deal of interest in, but water, just in terms of my lifestyle, is such a big part of it. So it was a pleasure talking with you, and I hope we'll stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Words on Water.